Well, the case I have now before me, Miss Fagan is claiming damages from Collins Limited in respect of a dress which she had dry cleaned by that firm. And you're alleging, Miss Fagan, that you had the dress made at a cost of £30 for the making.
Charged me £30 to make it.
Yes, and £20 for the material. And you state that the dress was new.
It was brand new.
And that when it was returned from cleaning, the braiding round the sleeves and the belt and the collar were damaged. And Collins Limited deny that the damage was caused during the cleaning process. And there is a report of an independent expert before the court to the effect that the damage to the dress was caused by friction, which they state appears to have been caused by wear and not as a result of the solvent used in the cleaning. I have examined the dress and noted that the damage appears to be under the sleeve and under the arm a little there, and on the inside of the neck.
Around the back there. And on the belt.
The question is where on the belt?
Well, it's all around, it's all around the belt. It's all on the back of this collar. I mean, I don't walk around like that all day long, you know.
Okay. Now, if I can just briefly state what the law is on the point, and that is that you as the plaintiff, Miss Fagan, must prove on a balance of probabilities, firstly, that this damage was caused during the dry cleaning process, and secondly, that in carrying out that process, the defendant didn't exercise due care and attention.
Shall I tell you what happened?
No, just a moment. You can tell me what happened, obviously. But it's not enough, and if I can just tell you what you have to show, first of all. It's not enough for you to show just that the damage occurred during the dry cleaning process. There may be circumstances in which damage would occur during such a process in spite of the defendant's taking all possible care. I'm not saying that is so in this case. For example, where the material that was used was not suitable for dry cleaning at all. So you have to show, in addition, that they didn't take due care and attention. And it's not necessary for us to consider the Unfair Contract Terms Act, because that didn't come into effect until after this breach of contract occurred, or alleged breach of contract occurred. And if I can also indicate the procedure which we follow in the court, and that is, first of all, I will ask you, Ms. Fagan, to make any relevant points that haven't already been covered in my short summary. I'll then ask Mr. Collins to put through the court any further questions which he would like you to answer. And you're entitled to call in witnesses to support your claim, if you have any. And then Mr. Collins may put his defence to the court. I'll then ask you if there are any questions
as regarding the witnesses, is the, really, it's only the girl I work with, because she saw what happened. She's at work. The woman that made the dress, I can't say to her, can she come up and have a day off, because she's like a dressmaking teacher and she does this part-time. If she don't go to work, she don't get paid. I think to myself, well, I had a new dress. I wrote down what happened. It was over an accident, and the manager in there, he knew, because Maggie, the girl I work with, she took the dress in. I mean, it's not a question I'm making up stories or I want to come along here today. I mean, why should I pay out for a brand new dress? I was going off to dinner. I was invited to dinner on the night time, so I've worn the dress. I've gone into work about 9:15, bought a pint of milk, and the first thing I do is I make the coffee. And as I opened the... It was not much milk. I wouldn't say a pint. It went down the dress. Couldn't go out with milk down the dress. I tried to wipe it off. So then I said to Maggie, what am I going to do? She said to me, I couldn't go home and get another dress because... So she said, well, take it in to see if he'll clean it. I went next door into the chemist to borrow an overall because I wear an apron. So I couldn't walk around all day with nothing, could I? I mean, so I've gone and borrowed an overall. Maggie took it into your man in the dry cleaner's shop. She came back and first of all she said they couldn't clean it today. She told him what's happened, it's an accident. He knew it didn't need cleaning, really. Well, the dress is perfect, didn't need any cleaning. It wasn't as if the dress was dirty. She goes back again. I said, oh, Mag, what am I going to do? She went back again. She told him, and he said, I'll clean it for 4 o'clock. Now, I walked round all day long in an overall, which was a three-quarter of a length overall. So how do I feel? It's a girl's overall. I was wearing high heels. I couldn't wear high heels. Can you understand? I'm in a shop. So I've had to put flip-flops off from someone else. 4 o'clock, I've gone to get the dress back, and I've hung it on the back of the door. It's only small, there's no back room or anything. And as I've gone to put the dress on, I've seen the zip. I said to her, what's this? She looked at it, and then we saw the collar. So I went back in the overall I'm wearing and showed your man. They know something, they've done something in there. Because he said to me, I told him, I said, look, I've got nothing else to wear. He said to me, well, he said, bring it back tomorrow. And I said to him, look, the dress is brand new, look what's happened.
Now, may I just...
See, look, I reckon myself what they've done is they've... All these bits that are up, they've done something, and they know they've done something. A girl come out, she kept on saying to me, oh, it's funny, isn't it, it goes like that. I'm not coming up here wasting everyone's time.
Now, can I just check, first of all, when did you have the dress made?
I bought the material, I would say, late February or whenever it was, I don't know. She's very slow, the woman.
But did you have it made soon after you bought the material or later? Was it February or...?
Well, I took the material to her so you could say she'll start cutting, but she'll start making. But the woman, she's not an idiot, and I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to pay her £30 to make a dress for me, and when I'm trying it on, it's going to all be like that.
Yes, but can I just establish, Miss Fagan, when did you have it made?
Well... I'd be truthful, I don't really. All I know is she takes such a long while. I give her the material. I mean, she's got a blouse of mine, which she's had now for the material. She's had it over for 2 months. I've got to go for a fitting. The man, on the morning, I would say at 9:30 on the morning, he knew that was a brand new dress. Why do you think that man kept on, he phoned you up 3 times about this, didn't he? No, you can't remember, but I'm telling you, I said to him, he phoned you about 3 times about this dress.
I didn't know about that.
Now, Miss Fagan, you read the report
by the expert.
Now,
I read the report.
What comments would you like to
I'd
pass
like
about
to say
that?
This. To him, this expert, I disagree thoroughly with his opinion. I know he's independent. If he's saying it's friction, wear friction, he's saying. The material on the dress is perfect. It's all these bits that are raised up that have caught it. Whatever they've done something to all these bits on the dress. Even over here, as you can see, it's raised up. I'm dumbstruck myself. I mean, about the expert's report, getting back to the expert's report.
Yes, that's the thing I want to hear about.
He's saying it's of relevant significance that it's gone under the arms. That's where they're pointing, because it's the worst there. Well, to me, it's gone all over the back here on the belt. Now, if this is friction, how can you put a belt on and in the morning, take it off to take it in the cleaners, and it's gone like that? Now, your man knew this dress was perfect when it went in.
May I just make one point about the belts, Miss Fagan, and that is... The damage on the belt appears to be where it goes through the loops.
It's all over. Mm. I mean, with respect, it don't go through the loops there. On the back of the dress, for instance, look, there. Mm. I mean, let's be fair. Now, how can this all get friction up here?
You, I think, in your statement said that you thought the damage had been caused by pressing.
Well, I think so myself, yeah.
I wanted to ask you about this inside. Do you think this would be caused by pressing?
Do you mean this sort of whitish looking thing here?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I think myself, they put it on one of these steam things, right, and start pressing it, don't they? That's what they use. They don't use an iron, do they?
Well, and if we can get Mr. Collins to tell us about that in a moment. Is there anything else you would like to tell me, just your side of the story, before I
well,
ask Mr. Collins?
I mean, in essence, that is my side of the story, really. I mean, to me, it's as plain as... I mean, I'm done. I mean, the man himself in the shop, your man in the shop, the manager, I mean, I couldn't go in there and have a go at the man because, all right, it's nothing to do with him. He's only working there. And he was quite pleasant about it. He said to me, well, look, he said, it's nothing to do with me. And the girl that came out, she was saying, oh, it's funny how it's gone and all that business. I mean, he said, I'll phone him up again. And then he phoned you up three times.
Now, may I ask just one more question?
You don't phone up three times, do you, if you know that he knows that I'm telling the truth? I mean, I'm telling the truth.
Miss Fagan, may I ask, it isn't clear from your statement what you're claiming.
Well, I've paid out £30. I mean, this is... The material cost me nearly £20, plus
yes,
fares and all that.
Yes, but I think you did say the dress is fair. The dress is wearable. I think you did say
I'm agreeing the dress is wearable. I mean, yes,
presumably you're claiming damages.
Well, I think he'll pay for a new dress to be made and he can keep that one.
Yes, now, can I just get clear what you are claiming? Because, of course, the court will have to reach a decision. In that regard, you're claiming damages in what sum?
Well, I think I should have the dress for a new dress.
Well, I think that you will accept that the dress is wearable and that what you are entitled to, if you succeed, is damage to compensate for the damage done to the dress.
Well, I think...
It will have to
be
fair,
a sum
in terms of money.
Well, I don't know. I suppose what's fair? I mean, I'm not an unreasonable person. I don't want to come here in the first place.
Right. Well, it's in the discretion of the court if it does decide that you're entitled to damages.
Oh, and I will say this about the independent report. I wrote you a letter to say I was going to get it independently tested, right? I phoned around various places... First of all, to see if there was a professional cleaners people. I was phoning up so many different numbers about this dress, and this man from the town hall or something gave me this address, two phone numbers, and you've put in your letter that I said I was going to have it done and then it was too expensive. Right?
I think that in your...
I'm not making up any stories. The man that delivers the plants there one day comes around from the big nursery and I'm phoning up this woman. I had to phone back twice because she was at lunch. I phoned back again in the afternoon and she was like a foreign woman. So she said to me, pack the dress up and put it with your cheque. I thought she said £13, which I thought was too expensive, and it turned out to be £30. Now, you were supposed to be helping to get the court helping to test the dress. Now, this has been 6 months now, but you never helped the court to test the dress, although you said you was going to help them in your letter.
I did. The court asked me, in my letter, I said I thought this could be done for a lot less than
£30.
The court asked me where this could be done, and I gave them, I suggested, a laboratory where it could be done, which the court, in fact, has used on previous occasions. I suppose they didn't know it.
Was this your laboratory, then?
Not my laboratory. It's a laboratory we've used on other occasions, which the court has used on many occasions.
Well, this is the...
And it was made a suggestion, because I think they charge about £7 or £8 or something like
that. Which is the one that the man from the town hall trading whatever he was give to me.
Well, I've got all the correspondence here. You'll see that...
I think, Mr. Collins, we might hear... Your side of the story.
Well, I dispute of what Miss Fagan says. I'm not disputing the dress was in very good condition when it came to us. I'm not disputing there's something wrong with it now. I'm not disputing any of this. I stand very much by what the laboratory said. Obviously, that's why we get an independent report. Madam, have already made the point that Miss Fagan herself, in her original submission, agrees that the dress is wearable. Now, the only thing I would say, I'm not as technical as the people who wrote this report, who are much greater experts than I am, but my case rests very much on this report. That's why we get an independent report. We're cleaning about 20,000, 20, I think, approaching 25,000 items a week, and it's inevitable amongst these one or two things are going to go wrong, and there's disagreement, so we go to an independent outfit to adjudicate. There are also the Retail Trading Standards Association. There are a number of people, but these people are cheap and they're quick, and that's why we use them.
Why didn't you say in the first place, then, well, to stop all this argument, I'll have it independently tested?
Well, we didn't know you were going
to
pursue...
Didn't I?
No, what... Look,
no,
I've got your letter here.
I was going to pursue it.
I didn't know, and had you suggested
you were... No, I was going to just give up. I think it's...
Well, I wrote what I thought was a reasonable explanation.
It's a very rude letter.
My letter was rude?
I think so, yeah.
Well... All I said in my... I can't find it. I've got it here somewhere.
I don't need all these papers and whatnot.
No,
I know what's happened, and you should... Your man should be here, and he can tell the truth as well.
I gave what I thought was an explanation, which, in fact, and I said the degree
it's
of friction...
Where?
I said friction, actually, and this was substantiated by the report when we got it, because the damage is entirely
but
to the grading of the
dress. Yeah, but what I'm saying now, is the friction has happened on your machines.
You then said, you answered my letter saying you were taking the matter to the small claims
that's
court.
That's right, because by this time...
You said I had no alternative to have the garment independently analysed.
That's right.
So,
yeah, that's
we
right,
waited to hear from the court.
But why didn't you say to me in the first place, well, we'll have the garment independently tested. I had to do all the running around, making all the phone calls.
Well, at that stage, I didn't know
Let's
that you were going
fair.
To...
Never.
I thought my
you
explanation
thought you
was...
You going to get away with it.
Well, not get away with it. I thought I'd explain the matter.
I'm
not...
I'm here. Well, this is what I'm saying. I'm getting so aggravated. My nerves are not worth more an address.
There's one or two points I'd like to make that aren't dealt with in the report. Had we... We don't you do this sort of dress bashing down on a Hoffman pressing machine. We do use irons. And with this sort of dress, we'd have simply steamed it. It wouldn't be, we don't press down the machine. Now,
that's what I'm saying. You
no,
know,
we don't do that sort of business.
I
it would be steamed
really.
And it would be touched up probably with an iron. We do hand finishing
in
that particular shop. Now, if our cleaning had been so at fault, this braiding would not only have gone in certain places, the braiding would have gone surely all the way around.
No,
we don't pick out...
What I'm saying is, it's like this. What's happened is, I suppose, if... What's happened is, all right, this material's flat. Now, this is common sense. You're a cleaner, I don't really know a lot. But if I'm going to iron that and leave the iron on this bit, this is the bit that's getting more heat.
They wouldn't have ironed that braiding. That wouldn't have been touched with an iron. The most
all right, steam then.
If I put my hand over a kettle
like that,
yes.
I might not end up with a scar, but I know I could have burnt my finger with the steam.
Well,
that's what you're saying.
I'm just saying that if the braid had gone, it would have gone all around. I'd rather not go beyond what's been
there. Of course you wouldn't. You're saying it's wear friction. What do I do? Walk along with my neck like that? Use the belt as a whip? Walk along with my arms like that?
With great respect to your dressmaker, is it possible
that
the trimming she's used to make this dress with is a little vulnerable to friction? It's very sensitive material.
She's not used a trimming. You just said it's a very sensitive material.
You're saying yourself the dress is quite undamaged, the damage is purely to the braiding.
It might be the same material,
but it's been braided and treated in such a way that it's a different trimming.
No, it's not vulnerable at all. It's the same trimming, it's the same material as the dress. I tell you how she does it. That's all sewn together by hand.
It's obviously a very expensive business. I see this, as if it's all done by hand.
That's all sewn on by hand.
It may still be, having been treated this way, rather vulnerable to any sort of...
Has the dress been worn, Mr. Fagan, since it was cleaned?
Oh, no, because then I took it back. This is another thing. I took it back and left it in the shop. Now, I did cover it over with a polythene bag in the shop. I mean, you know how dirty the place gets along there, right? Fair enough. Then I left it in the shop, and then I got a letter from the small claims court that they should have the dress. So I packed it in the paper, and our driver brought it down to the small claims court, and that's the last I've seen of it till today.
I see.
What I would only like to say here is that I don't dispute that the braiding isn't as it should be now. All I'm saying is, to elaborate on the report, that we say we cleaned it in the normal professional way and we haven't been negligent. The result is unfortunate, but we say there's not been negligence. That's all. If there's any way we can help, we will. I don't know.
The thing is, I'm not saying you're negligent on purpose. What I'm saying is this.
Well, we're never negligent on purpose. But sometimes we're negligent not on purpose, but we're still liable.
No,
we
accept what I'm saying is this.
If this report had said we were negligent, we'd be 100% liable.
Oh, what I'm saying is this. I took the dress in, and it's... the man in the shop, he knew. In fact, I mean, between you and me now, he came back. He said to me, I don't even know the man. And it was such a favour to do for the man to do the dress for me, because I was desperate, because I was going out. I sent him a little African violet in, because I've worked with the flowers. It's normal that I'll give him an African violet. I never go to your shop to have things clean, because where I live, they're cheaper.
Yes. But you spilled some milk. Now, unfortunately, I accept the whole dress was clean. Unfortunately, if you spill something, then we do have to clean the whole dress.
Yeah,
we can't just clean the milk
stain. I don't know that. All I know is I forgive a brand new dress when it's come back. It's like that. I mean, surely it would have been better for you to say in the first place, well, you'd know your man, surely.
We would have seen to look at this dress. If I'd been on the case, I'd have seen no reason why we shouldn't clean it perfectly well, quite honestly. I wouldn't have...
The man knew, but obviously, what could he do? He's only a manager there, I suppose. What could he do?
This dress was first sent along to me to see when you wrote in about it. I had to look at the dress quite a few minutes before I found anything wrong with it.
What we have to decide is how the damage was caused. It doesn't matter. Well, it's whether or not Mr. Collins' firm caused the damage, or whether, as Mr. Collins is suggesting, it was slightly worn and the dry cleaning process showed up the wear.
Probably something on the machinery, they've been steam pressing it, it's all the bits that are raised up. Got the damage. The dress itself is not damaged because that's not had so much heat as them bits. Ronnie, the van driver, he said the wall trees, he said it looks like it's melted.
Well, why don't our friends who say this, who've made the report out? Because they're far more clued up than I am.
There is one point I would like to ask you on, and that is they don't discuss the pressing process.
No, it's quite true. They don't mention the word pressing. Mm. But they do take that into account because, I mean, this is all part of the people who do this know the whole process and they know that pressing is...
Well, why don't they put it down then? Because this is my argument. I'm not saying it's for cleaning all the time. It's obvious to me and I'm not an expert. Something's gone wrong in to melt the material.
They say most of the adverse effects involve whitish markings and or surface glazing of the fabric.
Yes,
and then
in
there's some, they
don't. But I'm sure they'd have taken into account.
They say it's reactive to rubbing tests. Surface whitening can be induced. And then they conclude...
Well, this would indicate the most modest amount of handling would cause something like this, both in wear and handling by us, I agree.
I think yourself it's been done on the machinery. I reckon they should have spelt wear, W-H-E-R-E, not W-E-A-R, friction. The friction involved in this case is all the letters that have been writing to and fro various people. I think that's the friction caused in this case.
But don't you think this is the fairest way of doing it? If there's a dispute like this, we refer it to a...
Well, of course there is.
Ms. Fagan, we have had the dress tested, but you don't accept the report.
May I make a suggestion, Monsieur? If we can say, look, I say we haven't been negligent, you say we have, right. Now, you're a customer, you're an aggrieved customer, whether rightly or wrongly aggrieved. Can we meet you anyway on this? Can we, for instance, were presumably whoever loses this has to pay for the laboratory report.
Yes.
The court doesn't pay for this. Can we say, right here and now, we'll pay for the laboratory report regardless of the outcome of this? Can we say this? Can we do something to meet you on the fact that you've got a dress that's deteriorated slightly but is still perfectly wearable? You can't say you won't wear the dress again.
No.
I'm sure it's perfectly wearable, right?
Well, I'll wear the dress.
Can we whittle it down? We're not going to suggest that we buy you a replacement dress or have the same thing made. I'm not going to suggest that because I don't think we've been that. There's some element of doubt on the pressing. Okay. We pay for the laboratory report and we meet you in some way on the fact that the dress has a depreciated value.
I'll have to keep the dress.
We'd say, and what we'd do is say, part cash, part credit note. We give you, say, £10 in cash and a £10 credit note. That's just out of the back of my head as I'm sitting here. If you're prepared to come to us again, that is. You say we're too dear, but if you've got a credit note, it won't cost you anything
then.
Anyway.
That's fair.
I was real convinced when I was a kid the world was going to blow up in a hurry. I sat up all night watching the horizon.
Ignoring also the identity group ceremonial function of such kinds,
yeah,
of, kinds of affirmation that you get from being included in, because they are so esoteric.
Does you make any connection between this and fantasy theming?
I have not yet even thought about it.
Let me see if I can make the connection, because this is very central to what I'm trying to do. The connection is a fantasy theme is taken from Bales, who says there's this moment he wants to call it dramatizes. And he wants to call it dramatizes because there's double structure in it. And what happens are there are little chainings of stuff that happen. So that when something happens, something else seems to happen as a kind of direct result, and people will do things like they'll make four puns off each other. Or little kids will make the same sound. There's a place on one of Sue's tapes that we call the Thound Mound. And Bale says groups fall out a little bit at these moments. Borman picked it up from groups and said, oh, but it also works in whole cultures and uses the stuff like the Tom Eagleton idea of going pop, changing through all the books. And the way that that happened, you know, in words like, I'm behind you 1,000%, changing on George McGovern. And so that everybody I knew was going around that week saying, Steve, I want you to know about our friendship that I'm behind you 100%. Everybody I knew was doing that. We were all kind of looking at each other straight in the eye and saying, oh shit, this was going to be a nice presidential campaign until this day. Anyway, so that's the fantasy theme connection. Now the connection between what I want to do is these thou now moments are another kind of example that are much more common to something in everyday life, and that is that there are recurrences of things at all kinds of levels. Some of them are real iconic, and I think words get iconic in this way. And this was illustrated to me also in the Wisconsin era, when one day I was at a rally, and it would have been too many rallies lately, and people were tired, and this was really stupid, and there was this really scabrous speaker trying to say nothing in particular, but really just hoping that they could draw a crowd and only 18 people around, you know, and the thing wasn't going up well. And he finally thought of the idea, we didn't think of the idea, but he used the word bludgeon in a kind of nice sense, and bludgeon was the big word in it. And people clapped, and a couple people stopped who were going by on the sidewalk, and the crowd began to grow a little bit. And pretty soon, maybe 3 minutes later, this guy used the word bludgeon again, and the crowd came to its feet, and a few more people stopped from the sidewalk. And pretty soon people had begun to gather and things were beginning to happen. This guy was saying bludgeon about every 15 seconds. And I believe that he was totally unaware, and most people in the audience were totally unaware, that they were chaining on one little icon that was a word whose time had come. Okay, now, in the transcript that they're asking me to analyze in this chapter, everybody in the book is supposed to say something about this transcript. Okay, and in this transcript, these guys go, my daddy, my little brother, Switzerland, Switzerland, skiing, skiing, downhill skiing, cross-country skiing, heights, hot air balloons, balloon lessons, hot air balloons, like to go to California on my honeymoon, find a man, It's like the connections are at all kinds of levels. Some of them being a pair partner with something that went up here, so there's a symmetry. Every time I ask about your family, you all ask about my family. It seems to be a kind of one of those levels of interaction. And it just seems to me like that's like the thing I was talking about wobbling along a line, grabbing at all kinds of different points of coherence. And that's like what happens, that's like a more universal way of reading. That's like saying this is something that's going on all the time, whether we know it or not, rather than it being a little thing that just shows its head in these wild moments. All moments are that fucking wild.
Right. It's all contingent, which was part of the exciting picture you gave me earlier. It is the one time when people pay total attention